That Metal Interview.
You are tuned into the fastest rising podcast in the world, maybe, That Metal Interview podcast with your friend James, and we have yet another special guest, Mr. Larry Barragan of Santa Oscuridad, Houston-based Spanish rock band, a great badass band with badass music you guys have to check out. So go ahead and stream their music, check it out. Santa is like Santa Claus, S-A-N-T-A. Oscuridad is O-S-C-U-R-I-D-A-D. And Larry is also a part, and he is a member of Hellstar. If you guys recall the band Hellstar from Houston, Texas, the band from the 80s that toured the world, really, with many other artists, including Anthrax and Megadeth and a lot of bands. And Larry will talk to us about these experiences on the road with Hellstar back in the heyday of Hellstar. And here he is presenting us Santa Oscuridad. So let's check out a video from the band Bandera Negra right here on That Metal Interview podcast. Santa Oscuridad. We'll be right back. Enjoy. Bandera Negra from their EP Dos, D-O-S, Santa Oscuridad. Here is Larry. Let's go directly and speak to Larry of Santa Oscuridad and Hellstar. And let's chat with the legendary guitar player. Enjoy. So how was the casino gig? I'm in Eagle Pass, Texas. How did that go?
It was...
Strange?
It was because... have you been there?
Yeah, I play in local bands here. I played there, yeah. It's a very weird place.
Yeah, so it's like the, you know how it's got like the stage, and then there's like that kind of dancing floor area, and then and then around that is the seating area, and that's where everybody just sat, you know, and yeah. It was just kind of weird to have people so far back, and I mean, they liked it, you know, they were getting into it, but
but
they didn't come up to the stage, which was pretty odd.
James went up to the people.
James went out there, but then you would see, like, some older people, like, walking to, like, towards the door, because it's wide open, you know, and you would see... They would peek in, like, "Wow, what's going on?" And then, and they would go back and start gambling again. But yeah, it was okay, you know. First time gig. It might have been a gig that maybe one of James's other bands might have been better suited. Like, we also do something called Sabbath Judas Sabbath,
kind of
metal extravaganza. That might have been a little bit better for that crowd.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, badass, very cool. Yeah, I saw a couple of videos and. And I saw James going up to the people singing and all that, you know. Very cool.
Yeah.
The people getting off to that, well, you guys are badass to begin with, so badass.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, man.
So, first of all, congrats on your career, man. I mean, you guys are from Texas, first of all, you know, Texas Pride and as far as Hellstar and Santa Oscuridad. You guys have been all over the globe, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you do it for 40 years. You're doing something that I don't know if you're doing something right, but you're doing something that there's a longevity to the band, and you know, obviously we have a bunch of fans, and we've been, you know, fortunate to play all over the world and put out albums. You know, we're writing a new album right now, and I mean, we're still very busy. I actually think we're probably busier now than probably we've ever been, as far as like different projects and. You know, gigs and all that stuff. I mean, James, he's always working. He's got, you know, if he's not doing, you know, Hellstar, he's doing SJS. I think he was supposed to be doing a Seven Witches album as well. Oh, wow. I don't know if that's going to still happen. He was going to be doing the vocals here at my studio. And that's the other thing, you know, I have the studio and I've been recording, you know, all the Hellstar stuff and the Santa Escuridad and a couple other little projects. I helped the Scourge, which is the other two guys in Hellstar. That's their other project that they do. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, everybody's just busy, you know, trying to do something.
Do you strictly record only your bands, Hellstar, Santa Escuridad, or do you record other bands?
I've recorded some other stuff, but I guess people don't know that because it's not like it's publicized that I have bands come in or whatever, but I have some friends that need to, you know, that want to record or something, they can come, they'll come by and I'll record them.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So I'd like to get into the producing part in the end, you know, when I just can't walk or whatever, you know, or play. I mean, that's going to come soon, you know, sooner or later, but you know, that's something that I'd like to continue to do. That way I'm still connected to music and whatnot.
Awesome. Speaking of producers, I interviewed Carl Kennedy. And about the same time I interviewed him, you guys were supposed to play here at the casino, and I mentioned your name, you know, Hellstar, and he was like, "Yeah, oh yeah." I send him a big hello if you see him, and tell him that a dad says hi.
Yeah, that's what we call him. We've called him Dad since the beginning. He produced that first Burning Star album, so yeah. We've known him that long. And you know, we've been friends ever since then, but we never worked together again for some reason. We just did that first album, and then, you know, he was probably been too busy, and we were, you know, in different parts of the world or whatever, but it'd be nice to maybe do something with him again.
Right. Yeah, Carl. So anyways, back to Santa Oscuridad. You got two EPs out there, great stuff. I heard it. I heard the stuff. Yeah, real good stuff. So where did you record this? At your studio, or where did you record this stuff?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, I recorded and produced it here at my studios, Home and Mono Studios. Yeah, just like you probably read the bio, you know, we got together over some drinks, you know, Rudy, I don't know if you know Rudy Rocha, but he plays in the Tejano band called La Fiebre.
Oh yeah, La Fiebre, and, I heard of him,
Yeah, so he and I have been friends for a few years, and even his wife, our wives are friends, and we you know, we go out every once in a while. That one night we happened to go out and watch a Broken Espanol tribute band. Yeah. And we said, why, you know, none of the songs were very hard rock, and we kind of were joking around, like, well, we should do something like that, but, like, you know, rock it out.
Right.
And so, yeah, and then the guys that were in that tribute band, they walked off, and they were friends of ours, so we're like, hey, man, do you want to play bass for us? And that was Ray Solis, and
yeah.
And he was like, you two guys? Yeah, man, I'd like to do it. And I think for a little while, everybody thought, well, it's a joke. These guys are drunk, and it's not really going to, nothing's really going to happen. But no, I came home, and I wrote some songs, and I started sending them out. Rudy had some songs that he had in the can as well that, you know, I took them and kind of produced them up and changed some things here and there. And, you know, we just took it from there, just started rolling, and
Yeah.
I mean, we enjoy it. The stuff is different from Hellstar, so
yeah.
That's one thing I really was striving to do, was not make it like you know, like Hellstar. If I want to do Hellstar, I'll do Hellstar. But you know, Santa Oscuridad is more kind of straight ahead metal, hard rock. And you know, Juan Bonitas is our vocalist. He's great, and he kind of has a different voice than your typical metal singers right now, and I think that it's important, and he really identifies the band for what it is.
Yeah, very cool voice. Yeah, I heard the stuff, Bandera Negra and all that stuff. Very, very cool stuff. So I mean, I'm a fan of rock and Espanol too, right? I love all that stuff, you know, Enredos Verdes, Maná. What made you decide to write lyrics in Spanish, and why not another English band?
Well, I mean, like I said, we were watching Broken Espanol tribute, and that's where the idea started.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's do this in Spanish, and you know, that's the language that, you know, we all grew up with. That's the language that my grandparents used to yell at me at, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and on you know, Saturday mornings they would, you know, turn on the mariachi music and rancheras and all that stuff, and you know, Rudy coming from La Fiebre, that's all, you know, Tejano, and it's everything's in Spanish. So that was the other thing, that it wasn't just hey, let's just put a band together. There was, I guess, some cultural pride that went along with it, like, no, let's do it in our language, you know. So that's kind of our model too. It's like actually a friend of ours came up with it, but it's metal en tu idioma. So you know, that's what we were wanting to do. It's the second biggest language in the United States,
right? Yeah.
We're not represented, you know. We played in San Antonio, and people were like, wow, that was badass, I could understand everything, you know, because everybody speaks Spanish there. And we were like, okay, so, well, we'd like to, you know, get some gigs with maybe some of the other, you know, metal and Espanol bands that are here in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And all those guys were like, they're none. And we're like, what do you mean there's none? I mean, this is San Antonio. You can't go anywhere and not speak Spanish, you know.
Right.
You can't buy you can't go to a restaurant and not speak Spanish. You gotta speak some kind of Spanish, you know.
Exactly.
And they were like, no, there's none. You guys are the first ones that we've seen do this. And then, you know, there are other bands, we know that, in the world that are doing, you know, metal and hard rock and Espanol, but like for our region, there's really nobody doing it.
Really?
Granandes, you know, they're friends of ours that they're doing it in Spanish, but
wow, I hadn't realized
that.
You would think
there would be more.
Yeah.
You would think there would just be more, you know, because there's just so many people that speak Spanish, so.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that, wow.
Yeah, so we really, you know, once we started doing it and realizing that, hey, you know, there are not a lot of bands that are doing this in our area, then we really embraced it and said, no, well, you know, we got to do this. I mean, we do have one song that's going to be on the next EP that we're recording that's in English. We just thought it was just one that we just wrote in English, but not, it wasn't something like, hey, well, we're going to eventually change the, you know, the genre and start writing all the songs in English. We just wanted to do one in English.
Yeah, very cool. So that's one of my questions. You got anything new coming up with the band, Santa Oscuridad? Anything brewing?
Yeah, we're working on the... Well, we've already written all the songs for the next EP, and so we're in the process of recording that. Hopefully we can put it out by the end of this year, I hope. And I think it's got like 6 songs, maybe. And then we went back and re-recorded and remixed the first, not re-recorded everything, but there was like guitar tracks that we wanted to re-record. There was a few bass tracks that we wanted to re-record. So we went back and cleaned up stuff. And then our goal is to take the first EP, the second EP, and the third EP and combine them in the end.
Okay, cool.
And so we really wanted that to be cohesive. You know, we didn't want like 3 different mixes.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
For this, you know, so we that's why we said, hey, let's go ahead and make it all sound the same, and when we get to that point and we put everything out together, then it'll sound like one album. There's gonna be a few things that are a little bit different. Some harmony guitar that wasn't on the original song is now there and stuff like that. So, you know, if someone says, well, I already bought the first EP, well, it's going to be different.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, we know if you have the first EP, there'd be no reason for you to buy a full album. But, you know, since we went back and cleaned up some stuff and changed some stuff around, then, yeah, now you could, you know, now there's a reason to buy the whole thing all at once.
A revised version. Yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
Right.
So why the name Santa Oscuridad? Where'd that come from, and who came up with the name?
Rudy Rocha came up with the name. We had been looking at, man, you just don't realize how hard it was to come up with a name. Like, we would come up with a name and be like, nope, we'd look it up, not, there's a band called that. And
then it's all taken.
Come up with another name, and they, oh, no, there's already a band that has that name. And so that went on for, man, maybe 3 weeks. Like every day, just like, hey, you know, what about this name? And, you know, what about this other name? And so out of nowhere, then Rudy came up with, like, what do you think of Santa Oscuridad? And I thought, let me look it up. And then nobody had it, you know, nobody had that name. And I said,
wow,
I like it. It's cool because, you know, that you can do so much with the logo. And, it, you know, it's kind of, it's one of those things like, it's the duality of.
Yeah.
Life, really, you know, there's light and there's darkness, you know, and there's the holy and there's, you know, the not so holy. So that's why I came up with the logo, and I did the cross with the pitchfork, because I thought, like, well, that's
awesome.
Indicative of what the name is, you know, Santa Oscuridad.
I saw that, badass.
And,
yeah,
and what I find interesting is, like, even the artwork that we have, people will always fixate on the negative part of the logo. Like, they'll go like, that pitchfork, man, that means like the devil, doesn't it? I'm like, wow, well, you totally like didn't even look at the cross part. You just looked at the pitchfork.
Yeah.
And that happens over and over and over again. And they're like, well, I mean, just, you know, I saw the cross, but, you know, I was just saying like the pitchfork is the devil. It's like, yeah, but you didn't say, hey, the cross is, you know, God. You focused on the negative part. And then when they look at, the album cover that we have, she's kind of turned into our mascot, and we call her Zombie Nun.
Yeah.
So people always go like, oh, she's turning into a zombie. And I always go like, well, how come you don't think that she's turning into flesh, you know, the other way? You know, it's always the negative part, you know. And they're like, oh, yeah, I really didn't think about that. So I think that's funny.
Yeah, know, that, it is. Yeah, they focus on the. Yeah,
that, yeah, they'll always focus on the darkness part of it. You know.
And yeah.
Even the 2 EPs, we have the black one, which is the first one, and we have Dos, which is the white one. And everybody goes, oh, well, there must be like more. The white one must be more angelic, I guess. And I'm like, well, if you really look at it, it's the opposite.
Because, more evil.
Yeah, because the Zombie Nun actually has a black halo on the white album, and the cross is black, and the roses are black, you know, so that's really, you know, they just see, like, the white part and don't really focus on the art as much, so,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it...
That's funny.
The name, there's a lot you can do with it, and there's a lot that we've done with it already, so, yeah, we're happy with it, and You know, we're a merch machine, man. We got all kinds of shirts and buttons, and we even sell the little crosses, like for pendants and stuff. So yeah, it's been good.
So where can fans wanting to buy merchandise, where can they find you? You guys are on Instagram for sure. Facebook?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Those are probably the two main ways to get a hold of us, just messages. We're always kind of checking the messenger or you know, everybody has their individual pages too that you can reach out to. I might be at the limit, but you can still message me.
Okay, cool. So take us back to the beginning of your music career, if you will. Would you say Black Rose was your start in music?
Yeah, for sure. Black Rose was the first band I had joined. And, you know, funny thing, let me take you back a little bit further.
Awesome.
When I started playing guitar, actually, I didn't want to play guitar. I wanted to play drums.
Oh, wow.
And my older brother, who's actually been like, he's been my biggest influence as far as music goes. I mean, he introduced me to all the bands, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Rush.
Awesome.
UFO, and, you know, and I just kind of just took it from there. And, you know, then we started listening to all the other stuff. But let me get back to the guitar playing. He said, no, man, you don't want to play drums. You want to play guitar.
Okay.
And I said, no, man, I don't. I don't want to play guitar. I want to play drums, man. Drums are cool, man.
I want the drums, yeah.
No, man. He goes, no, dude, you don't want to play drums. And like he was trying to do that Jedi mind trick on me or something. And he goes, no, you're guitar, dude. And I was like, why? And he said, because the drummer is always in the back, but the guitar player is always in the front, man. You want to be in the front. And I was like, well, but, you know, drums are good. And he was like, no, dude, you want to be in the front. And so that was it. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll play guitar then.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so
yeah.
I finally got my guitar, started playing. And again, my brother was like, yeah, well, you know, after you've been playing about 5 years or so, you know, you'll probably be ready to join a band. You'll be good enough to play in a band. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds cool, you know. And so I just kept practicing and playing. And I had some friends that would call up and they'd say, hey, man, do you want to come jam out? And maybe we're putting a band together. And I would say, ah, man, I've only been playing like 3 years, you know, so
yeah,
I'm not really ready to play in a band. And that went on for a little while. So I think I was on the, you know, I got a call and somebody was talking to me about joining a band. And I told them, nah, man, I'm sorry, I've only been playing for 3 years.
Yeah.
And my brother was sitting there and he goes, what happened? I said, oh, no, man, these guys, you know, they want me to play in their band. And, you know, I told them I've been only playing 3 years. And he was like, you're such a dumbass, man. You're good enough. Go ahead and play, man. I was like, but you said 5 years, you know. And so I was taking him at his word, you know.
Yeah.
Like my older brother's word was gospel to me. And he was like, no, man, you know, don't be a dumbass. Go out there and start playing with people. And that's when I started playing with Black Rose. That was like the first band.
Oh, wow.
And,
there you go.
We did like, you know, just hard rock. Not really metal at that time because of the time. But we did like Nazareth, Hair of the Dog. And we did a lot of Rush. What else did we do?
Very cool. Cool rock and roll. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of straightforward. Kind of stuff, but then I bought the first Iron Maiden album, and I brought it to them. I was excited, like, check this out.
Uh-oh.
You know, we got to do this stuff, man. And it was it was like one of those moments, you know, that changed everything.
Yeah,
and,
for sure. Yeah,
yeah. So we started, you know, just playing that. And
so you're a big fan of Iron Maiden?
You know, I was. Yeah, you know, I was then.
Yeah. The first album, you know, and Killers.
Like,
Yeah,
just like with any band, you know, they change and you know, fans are, you know, are fickle. And,
yeah.
You know, they can't, it's pretty rare to have a fan that just follows you all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't falter. That's rare. For me, I love the first, three albums, you know, and those are my favorite. Once Clive Burr left the band, and I thought that something happened, you know, the drums were an integral part of their sound, and then now it kind of was different, So, yeah.
Yeah, the change from
that, not saying that Nico's not a great drummer. Nico's a badass drummer.
Yeah, he's badass.
Yeah. I just thought that Clive had like cool parts and he had like a lot of energy and he kind of gave him an edge that they just didn't have after that. You know, after he left, it just was a little more. It was a little bit too polished for me.
So the last album they recorded was Number of the Beast, I believe, right?
For
the last Clive album.
Yeah, that was the last one.
And then Power Slave, A Peace of Mind. Yeah.
Peace of Mind. Peace of Mind wasn't bad, but I mean, it was.
Yeah.
I was disappointed by that time. Like, you know, no more Clive, but.
All due respect to Nico.
Yeah, that whole new wave of British heavy metal, man. I mean, we were in the thick of it. We loved all those bands, Angel Witch and Saxon and Budgie and boy, was Budgie? Budgie wasn't part of that, was it? But we liked all those bands, you know. They were all coming out around that time, and especially Angel Witch. They were like the biggest influence to us.
Angel Witch,
They were more than Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. It was Angel Witch, and we got to play with them in a festival a few years ago in Germany.
Really?
Oh my God! Yeah, I can't remember the name of the festival. It was Headbangers Open Air. And here's a funny story. So when you play at the festivals, they pick you up in these vans, and then, you know, they have runners that go back and forth. So they pick you up at the hotel, and then they take you to the festival. You know, you warm up, you eat, you know, food, or you have the autograph signings or whatever. Yeah. And we were kind of running late, and we picked up this guy and this girl, and then they got on, and then they were like, "Hey man, can you take us to the store?" And I was like, getting pissed off, like, "What the fuck, man? I mean, this guy is—he knows we got to get to the festival. Why is he stopping?" And then they walk into the store, they buy some cigarettes, and then he's smoking outside of the store. I'm like, "Oh my God, we're going to be late," you know. And so he gets into the van, and I still haven't really looked at his face or anything. I'm just pissed, you know. And we get to the festival, and we get off, and you know, I go and start warming up, whatever, and then we play our set. And then I was like, there's no way I'm missing Angel Witch. So I went out into the audience and I stood there, and when the lights went out and they started playing, I was like, "Oh, that's the guy that was in the band." It was Kevin Haber.
Oh.
And so I was like, "Oh my God." So, you know, after his set, I ran back over there and like talking to him, like, "Dude, you know, we worshipped your band when we were cutting our teeth on your song. We used to play Angel of Death and Angel Witch and we did White Witch. We still did a cover of White Witch on one of the Hellstar as a bonus track. So I was telling them all that. I turned into a fanboy then. I was like, "Ah!"
Wow, what a story! Very cool. So that's the guy you guys took to the store.
Yeah, it was. I was all pissed off at him.
Wow, what a cool story there. Cool. Yeah, I'm So anyways, so at what point does you mentioned Black Rose, at what point does Hellstar, when is it born? What year? 81,
82? 82. It was 82. Yeah, so you know, James hadn't joined the band at that point yet, but the name Hellstar was born in 82.
Okay.
And so it was Hector Pavon, who was the drummer in Black Rose, and myself, and then we kind of hooked up with these other two guys a little bit older than us, actually, and they were in a band together, and we tried to start writing some songs, and we were doing a bunch of covers still, like, you know, Scorpions Can't Get Enough, and we did a lot of stuff off that Animal Magnetism album, and anyway, it kind of fell apart, and then we just like recruited these new guys in, and then you know, like maybe a year later that James joined as the vocalist, and then that was it. You know, we just kind of started, you know, writing our own songs, and we put out a demo, and it won like Demo of the Year in this magazine called Metal Forces, and that's what actually got us signed to Combat Records.
Wow. Very cool. I mean, James is a great, great vocalist. He's just awesome. He's just incredible. You know, I mean, almost not human.
Well, I mean, it's
great.
His voice is strong still, man. You know, he's older now, and it's really, really strong. He'll come when he records in my studio. He'll record right here in the room with me. I just turn off all the monitors, and then we just listen through headphones. And I mean, I can hear him belting it out. It's loud. Like, you know, my wife will be sitting at in the far end of the house, and she's like, "No, you can hear it clear. He's loud." So yeah, he's just got a very powerful voice.
Yeah.
For a guy of such small stature, you know, and
yeah,
I mean, he's maybe an inch taller than me, but I mean,
yeah,
I mean, he's been doing it forever and played so many shows and still been able to I mean, everybody has their bad nights and whatnot, but I mean, those are few and far between, but he's just a powerhouse, man.
Yeah, you guys were here at the at Eagle Pass at a club, Cooters. Not sure if you were here with James. I wasn't there, of course. The Iron Maidens, that all-girl maiden tribute band, was here at Cooters. And
Yeah, I wasn't in it. That was some. That's one of his other projects that he took out there.
Okay, yeah. Some people were in shock, you know, the way he sings. You know, there was a lot of comments there. People are just in shock here when you go past.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for one, you think, like, wow, he probably can't hit those high notes anymore. Or, you know, he probably didn't move around that much. Man, he's high energy, man. He's kept in shape. And
it's awesome.
Yeah, we're a good team. And hopefully that, you know, we can keep it going for a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going to walk away one day, you know,
You guys are still young, you know?
As long as we feel that we can still do it at a high level, then yeah, we'll keep doing it. But if we ever feel like, man, it's just not happening anymore, I can't play those songs or I can't sing those songs anymore, then maybe, you know, it'll be time to walk away. But hey, man, after 40 some odd years, it's a good career. We had a good run, you know, at that point. You know, but right now we're still enjoying it and we're still doing it. So
yeah.
There are no plans to quit as of yet.
That's good news for us fans. Don't quit. So how does it feel? I mean, to share the stage with names like Megadeth, King Diamond, Anthrax, you know, just to name a few right there. How does that feel, man? I mean, not just anybody can say that. I can't say that. A lot of people can't say that. I got to meet Anthrax or whatever, you know?
Yeah, we became friends with a lot of those guys, you know. You're just in that business and you're playing whatever gigs that they give you and you're jumping on whatever tour they give you. And we're just fortunate enough to play with those guys, you know, as they were coming up as well. You know, that Megadeth tour that we did, or dates, I should say, wasn't a full tour, but we did some dates with them, and that was on P-Cells. They had just released it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we were, you know, we were on the same label at that time.
Combat, yeah.
They were still signed. They were on Combat as well. And
wow.
That's why when Remnants of War came out, that's Randy Burns had produced P-Cells, and so he did Remnants of War as well.
Wow, what an honor right there. Just touring with Megadeth and are you there? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I heard a noise.
Yeah.
So how's the Anthrax camp? How are those guys? Are they pretty cool? Or?
No, they were awesome, man. They were very, very cool. I mean, we haven't really had any problems with any bands we've ever played with. I mean, if there were any issues, I think we've learned to just keep everything to ourselves now.
Yeah.
But during that time, man, you know, Scott was great. He gave us tips on guitar tones and stuff, and they were cool. They were cool enough to like tell us, hey, you know, you might want to run your amp like this, and I have this pedal, maybe think about buying it and if you like my tone. And yeah, it was, you know, not everybody does that. Everybody's kind of like, oh no, this is my, you know, secret weapon, sorry man, I'm not, you know, gonna show you any of that stuff, you know. But
very cool.
They were cool. We would eat together and
wow,
yeah, you know, just talking and even after that we went to New York for something and Scott took us around the town, you know, like we were walking through New York with Scott. Then we played Lamour's with TT Quick,
yeah,
and they showed up. They were backstage and they were throwing ice at us while we were on stage. And I was like turning around like, what the hell, he's throwing ice at us. And it was all of them. It was Scott and Frankie and Joey. They were all there.
Wow.
They were really cool guys.
Very cool. Cool story. Cool. So give us an update on, if it still exists, Eternity Black.
No, that we just canned it, you know.
Yeah.
We started getting busy with Hellstar. And, we just said, no, I guess let's just do this. I guess we just weren't too hip at that point about like, hey, we can do both bands. They're very different from each other or whatever. And that's when Rob Trujillo and I were heading up Attorney Black, and we both just came to an agreement like, man, let's just do the Hellstar thing and see where that takes us. And
yeah,
you know, yeah, once we did that 25th anniversary of Remnants of War, we never really looked back after that. We just started getting offers to go to do festivals, and we're like, well, okay, I guess let's do this. And then James said, hey, they want to know, you know, we want to record something. And I was like, well, I guess so. Let's do that. So let's start writing some songs. And that's what happened. We just started writing songs. And then, you know, we did like a little best of thing that, you know, I wasn't really too happy with.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really, the album that, you know, I could say like, okay, that was us coming back was King of Hell.
Yeah.
And, yeah, then after that, we just, you know, we just kept on, writing, and that's where we're at here. It's a train that just keeps on rolling, you know, so, we've been just lucky enough to be able to do all those things, you know.
Is there anything brewing for, I mean, the new stuff from Hellstar? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're in the process of writing some stuff. I have a few songs in the can, but, this next month is going to be, like, hellacious. There's, like, I'm playing gigs with, I think, four different bands, and three of those gigs are, like, back to back to back. So there's a lot of practicing, you know. James came up with an idea during the COVID time that he wanted to do like this goth new wave cover band, but metal. So he came up with this thing called Metal Wave, and so we do songs from Depeche Mode and Psychedelic Furs, Peter Gabriel.
Okay, cool.
Echo and the Bunnymen, but we do them, you know, we do them metal, but we don't. The one key though was that we didn't want the songs to be destroyed.
Yeah,
we wanted, if we're going to play Black Celebration by Depeche Mode, we still wanted it to sound like Black Celebration, but yeah, still metal. And so all the songs are like that. So if somebody that loves those songs, like from Echo and the Bunnymen, would hear us to play it, they would be like, oh, that's Echo and the Bunnymen. They would still know it, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that was really, really important to James, that he didn't want to, like, you know, like, hey, let's thrash these songs out, make them really, really fast, and nobody will recognize them. No, he wanted he wanted them to be very recognizable still and iconic. And actually that band has got a record deal, you know, so I recorded that here as well.
Really?
In my studio.
Metal Wave.
So,
Metal Wave, okay.
Metal Wave. I don't know when the album's coming out, but it's coming out. I don't know. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's coming out. It's mastered and everything, and just waiting in the wings. There's an album cover for it. He's got that band that's playing in April, and then I'm playing with Hellstar at Hell's Heroes. We're doing the first album in its entirety.
Wow.
And then we're doing, and then the next night I'm playing with the South Texas Legion. That's a bunch of the old school guys from the 80s era, like Mike Solis from Militia, Art Villarreal from San Antonio Slayer and Carrion, and some guys from Juggernaut.
Very cool.
And,
wow.
Who else is in it? James sings in it. I'm playing guitar in it.
Wow.
Who else? Oh, usually Jason McMaster's in it too. From
Dangerous Toys, yeah.
From Dangerous Toys, but we would do a Watchtower song, but he's got another gig that night, so he won't be at that Houston show. And then the next night, I'm playing with Santa Oscuridad at Faust Tavern in San Antonio. So it's like back to back to back, man. So it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday I'll come home and probably sleep all day.
You're just busy, but, huh?
yeah, it's going to be really, really busy. It's a lot of practicing and going over different songs and, you know, different sets. And but, you know, I enjoy it, man. It turns me on. It's like what I've always done all my life is play guitar. And so when I get to do it, and do it a lot, man, you know, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, this is our journey. Yeah, you're a musician, and this is what you do in life, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, man. I mean, it's but I mean, it's not all roses, and you know that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've missed weddings, and you know, I miss my grandparents' anniversary celebration, and I missed my son's graduation. I was on the road. I was actually on a stage in Sweden. We were playing Sweden Rock, and I ran off the stage, and I call home, and I heard his name over the phone. You know, so yeah. I mean, you miss a lot of shit, man.
Yeah.
To do this, you know.
Some people don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not all. I mean, a lot of people have been like, "Well, I can't believe that you did that," you know.
It's tough.
I didn't want to, actually. You know, my son was like, "No, man, you are so hard for, you know, get on these tours. Just, you know, go ahead and go, man. Don't make me feel bad because you stayed or whatever." And so yeah. I went. And then in the end, you know, it haunts me. You know, I always think about that particular thing.
Yeah.
And that I should have just said, "Nah, you know, find someone to fill in for me," or something like that.
Yeah, that's some incredible stories there. Yeah.
But, you know, it happens, and I'm not the only one that it happens to. So you talk to anybody who's been, you know, who's got albums and been touring and all that, they'll tell you, man, I've missed my kids' birthdays. I've missed all kinds of stuff, you know.
It's hard, yeah. Some people don't know all this, what musicians go through. You know, you see the videos on YouTube and the live performances and all that, and you see the album covers, and yeah.
Yeah, man, that's your hour of, you know, of being cool, and you know, the rest of the day it sucks, you know. But you know, the travels, you know, it gets hard, and you know, just being away from home, being away from family, being away from kids and friends and everything, you know, it's
one of my questions,
it's a hard part.
One of my questions there is, you might have answered it already, is there anything you would change if you had a chance, any regrets with this career? Anything if you had a chance to go back, time travel or something, I don't know.
I mean, there are some things. I would, you know, I mean, we're not, you know, Metallica, so obviously we made some bad decisions here and there, you know, so there would be some business things that I would do different, but, I mean, overall, like, as far as music goes, I'm content, you know. I think the body of work is good. We've been a band that has a lot of integrity, and we... You know, we've always felt that that's paramount, you know, for us, is that, you know, when you come to see us play, that we give you our all, and no matter if it's 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people,
yeah.
You know, we're going to try to play the same show. But as far as like going back and changing stuff, I mean, you know, those are the cards we were dealt with.
Yeah.
So we just got to play them, and that's it, man. I can't, it'd be, you know, you go back in time travel, and then the rest of your life is completely different.
Yeah.
and you know, you're at a place where maybe maybe you're not even happy being, you know, things
yeah.
were a little bit different, but.
Exactly.
No, I'm good, man, you know, I don't complain or, you know.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where can we find, you mentioned Metal Wave and you mentioned the South Texas deal. Where can us fans, metal fans, find these tour dates and all, you know?
Well, South Texas Legion is, I don't know if they even have a website. It's just it's just a thing that they put together. These guys, you know, all the bands put it together, and it's really like, it's all of us celebrating all of us. We play a couple of Militia songs. We play a couple of San Antonio Slayer songs. Play a couple of Carrion songs, a couple of songs from, well, you know, if Jason was there, we would do a couple of songs from Watchtower, but yeah, and a couple of songs from Hellstar, obviously, too, so so it's I don't know where it's gonna go. I think this is only, they did like one show in Europe, at the Keep It True Festival, and I know they did one in San Antonio, and then I think this one is happening, you know, here in Houston. And I guess there's talks about maybe doing a couple more, you know. But
awesome.
It's kind of regional for now. I mean, I don't know what the demand would be if we took it to, you know, somewhere else, New York or you know, West Coast or something. But
Wow, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I don't know about that band as far as Metal Wave. You can find on Facebook.
Okay.
Let me see. I think the URL is Facebook/Metal Wave.
Yeah. Cool. We'll check it out. Yeah. That's interesting stuff. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. You know, I'm busy.
Very busy.
Yeah. All the time, man. I'm busy all the time.
That's good.
And right now we're, like I said, you know, Santa Oscuridad is recording. We've got some shows coming up here and there. And then I think we're doing like Harlingen and Corpus in September. We were trying to get to Eagle Pass in July with Metal Wave, I think.
Wait, Cooters or the casino?
I'm not sure. Okay. James is going to try to set that up.
Okay.
I don't know how well Santa Scudidad will go over at the casino. I would think it would be better to do like some rock bar.
Yeah, Cooters, yeah. That bar there, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, so we're looking at that, you know, so, yeah, just trying to play, just
very
keep
cool.
it going and make the band grow and
awesome, very cool. Would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Message, yeah, man. I mean, my message to the fans is always the same thing, man. Thank you. I mean, thank you for allowing us to do what we do and to show up at the shows and you know, buy merch and albums and, you know, all that stuff, man. You know, a lot of bands, they don't get to do it, you know. They don't, they would, you know, love to do a quarter of what we've done, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't take it for granted, and we don't take the fans for granted either. So thank you so much, guys.
Awesome, Larry. Very cool talking to you, and thank you for making time, and we're looking forward to seeing your projects, your bands, you know, on the road, you know. Very cool. Thank you.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Talk about a legend in the 80s. In the 90s and now still active. We thank Larry for being a part of the show. Thank you, Larry. And all the guys from Santa Oscuridad, good luck with future endeavors and tours and all that. And I believe this weekend they're going to be appearing at a club in San Antonio, Texas. I don't have the name of the club with me, but you guys can search Santa Oscuridad's socials and check out their tour dates and club dates and all that, festivals. And he did mention Mexico, so... Anyways, go ahead and support Larry's projects, Hellstar and Santa Oscuridad, along with all of his other works, of course. And as far as our podcast, That Metal Interview, don't forget to subscribe, share, stream, and download, however your preferred way of listening to a podcast nowadays is. So don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell for notifications. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.